This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. Senator Chris Langer, the Majority Leader in the Senate. I'm from District 25 in Del Rapids, and thanks for having us today.
State Senator Jim Boland, District 16, representing the furthest southeastern portion of the state, all of Union County, southern rural portion of Lincoln County.
Good morning. Representative Lee Quam, House Majority Leader from District 21, which south-central part of the state.
Good morning. Tim Reed, District 7, which is the city of Brookings.
Glad to hear there's no questions.
I think there was a bill in Senate Commerce and Energy that was it was a PUC bill that was kind of hoghouse yesterday. I think there's some concerns about what it may or may not do. I think it changes the hoghouse changes basically changes the language from public hearings to public input meetings, and I think there's a concern about hosting. Or concerns about the permitting process. Has there been any talk about this? Like, what I guess what's going on with that bill and that hoghouse?
Is that Senate Bill 15?
Yes.
Is that what you're looking at? Yeah. I think there's some extensive work on that, and the Public Utilities Commission was involved in that. And my understanding is that they're happy with the language the way it is now. That they came to an agreement, and this was agreeable by most all parties.
So the hoghouse language is what they're happier with, or the amendment?
Correct.
Okay.
There is the vote today in Senate State Affairs on the bill to prohibit teaching about gender and dysphoria in schools. Can you give us a sense of how that's going to go?
I really don't know. I think it'll be a reasonably close vote. There's only like 15 words in the bill or something like that. So I think there'll be a lot of different testimony, and I wouldn't hazard a guess at the present time until we hear the testimony and the votes are taken. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of testimony on that bill.
Is the Senate going to take up the presumptive probation repeal today? And if so, can you talk about what that might be like?
My intent would be to take it today. I think, you know, there'll be lots of different ideas and debate and testimony. I think, you know, one of the major concerns is what it would do to our appropriations budget, because the fiscal impact is very, very high. And I was heard from one of the proponents today that, you know, that we could pay for it out of our reserve fund, which I think is going to cause some angst among legislators for sure. At this point, it'd be tough to refer to a committee.
And I'll just add into that as well that this is a really good illustration of where we have independently elected constitutional officers, and the Attorney General obviously favors this bill, and the administration, which does not favor the bill. And I think that's important civics lesson for the public to learn, is that the five constitutional officers are not – they're elected independently, separate from the governor, and so they operate independently and sometimes come to different conclusions. So they're part of the executive branch but not under the governor for those five constitutional officers. I think that's an important little lesson to learn from this. Thank you.
If I could address that just a little bit, I'm in favor of getting rid of presumptive probation. I wanted to do it last year, but I knew the previous governor would not sign it. And I realize there's a financial impact, but I've got a good – this is an example. I've got a good friend that has a couple stores, and he had a manager, and there was $100,000 embezzled out of the one store. And because of having presumptive probation, the guy got a slap on the hand and had to pay $5,000 back. And he can go any place, get a job, and does not have to say that he embezzled $100,000. So there's something screwed up, and I realize the judge has options right now, you know, to go the other way with this. But that's what happened, and so it's just that's a huge deal for me. That is not right. So
if it doesn't make it out of the Senate today, do you have any plans to try anything else, or is it done this year?
Along those same lines, you know, this bill was filed fairly early on, and it just finally got out of committee. Has there been enough time to consider this and debate it? I know they were waiting on a fiscal impact statement. Any ideas as to what that holdup was?
I guess I don't know why it took so long. I think that the bill was even pre-filed, so I'm not sure where the holdup was. But I think they had the hearing as soon as they got the numbers for the fiscal note.
Along those same lines, let's talk a little bit about the PACE committee crossover today, House crossover Monday. How are things going? I know you put in some long day. What kind of toll does that take?
Well, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, we know we have to get this stuff done, and so we just go out and do it. Our calendar looks really good. I don't see crossover days going to be – we're going to have some bills that are going to take some time to debate, but it's not going to be where we're here till midnight. I think the first year I was here, we were here till midnight, and so I don't see – that was a long day. I don't see that happening. I think we're in pretty good shape.
And I'll just add, I was with Representative Quam on that date, I think, in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, we were here, I think, till about 11:45 and get everything done on the House side. But I think the Senate, we're in pretty good shape. We've been meeting the deadlines and usually having a floor session of 2 to 2.5 hours every day from 2 to 4, 4:30. And there's been some very interesting debates on a wide range of subjects. We've had a lot of you might say, controversial bills we've dealt with, from, you know, guns on campus and a host of other very important issues. But we're handling our schedule in a really appropriate manner.
Can you give us any sense of what's going to happen in the House today with the student athletics, transgender student athletics bill?
Well, it will have to get a vote of 36 people to calendar it. So we'll see what happens. I would assume it would be heard on Monday.
And I just wanted to check, and maybe this is for Senator Boland and you, Leader Quam. I spoke to a transgender student from Yankton yesterday, and about some of the statements, especially on the House floor, made about the gender dysphoria teaching bill. And the student said that lawmakers are, almost direct quote, creating a very negative climate, feeling like this person and transgender people are not welcome in South Dakota. The person talked about maybe leaving South Dakota for Minnesota, where it seems like they might be more welcomed. I'm curious, how do you think that your statements are affecting children in South Dakota?
It's unfortunate that it's being interpreted that way, because that's not how it should be. Everybody needs to be loved and compassion and cared for, and, you know that they're a valuable person. And that the discussion we're having is having nothing to do with that. I don't even know where I go from here, but. They are valuable people, and we need to treat them with all the compassion and love and understanding. Because I know they don't understand what they're going through. It's got to be incredibly hard to deal with what they're trying to deal with, and they need to be able to talk to somebody and get some help in getting this out.
My only comment on that is that the efforts I've made have revolved around fair competition in high school athletics. That's the only bill that I have sponsored, and that's what my main emphasis in this whole issue is about, fair competition in high school athletics.
House State Affairs took up the, it's commonly called the Autism Insurance Bill. That went down 1236, I think it was. Could you tell me a little bit about that debate? It seemed to get emotional on both sides of the dais. And just tell me about how that all played out. And will we be hearing more about this subject maybe next year?
Well, that was one of the, that was probably the hardest vote I've ever had to take in my life. I'll just be frank with it. Tremendous amount of emotion in the room. I still stand by my vote. I wouldn't change it. That was not the way to go about this. I think it was put together quite rapidly. There needs to be something done. I have already started talking to Wellmark, Sanford, Avira, you know, some of the representatives of that. I know somebody's come down and talked to Second Floor about the possibility of putting a work group together to really see what we can do to fix this. There was an agreement done in 2015, and that had to deal with autism with larger groups, larger plans. Well, when you have an individual group, Avira was said they would do some of this. Well, it's not sustaining. It's costing so much money, they can't afford to do that. And we start put mandates on. Right now, we've only got three insurance companies in South Dakota, Wellmark and Avira and Sanford. We start putting mandates on, we may have less opportunity for insurance. And so we need to do this in the right way. Everybody understands there's an issue. We know that if these kids get treatment, they will be able to, you know, lead a good life, but it's also extremely expensive, and we need to figure out how to do it. I know North Dakota was referenced as a possibility with some federal funding, and so we're just trying to figure that out. So there's people that are looking at there. I just got some notes here that were handed to me. North Dakota Insurance Commissioner sent a bulletin to insurance providers stating that they cannot exclude ABA therapy. So it's not exactly a mandate, but yet they have, and it's through the federal government, through Medicare. I visited with Ms. Barnett yesterday about it, and so they're on board knowing that something needs to be done, but this bill was not the answer. And so we're working to put a work group together. Work groups have been very successful in the past. Hopefully we can get that done. And that, I would assume that would be later this summer when we get it done. There's no way it can be done before session. So bring all the parties, bring some of the autism people together and really move forward with this. So it's we didn't take our vote lightly. But if we're going to do it, we got to do it in a way that is right for everybody and will work and can be sustaining and continue to move forward instead of force. I don't like mandates. Mandates don't work good for anybody because all of a sudden you mandated this and you got to mandate this and this and this and this it's not self-sustaining, so we can't do that. So I look forward to continue working on this and continue moving forward.
I could follow up for anyone. Testimony was roughly 1,700 South Dakota families will lose insurance by July of this year. Is there anything that can be done for them as they lose coverage until the topic comes up legislatively again?
I don't think it'll be a legislative fix. I think there's – I'm hoping it doesn't have to be a legislative fix. I'm hoping that we can do something to get put in place where it doesn't take legislation to do this. Do I know that for a fact? I don't. So we just need to see what we can do. I mean, we're working with all the parties to try and get them all in one room and, you know, really everybody get educated on this and what we can do and where we can go. I think, you know, looking at the federal government, and I don't have here what they were talking about that was available from the federal government, but in visiting with Ms. Barnett, she said, well, I can talk for 6 hours on that. How much you want? And I said, well, I don't have 6 hours. So that's a discussion for another time. So they're really looking into that right now. They thought everything was on par for the state because they'd never had any indication that it was not. And so now they're trying to find out what's going on here. So So that, I think there's options out there. We just need to get it figured out what it is.
Senator Boland, you have Senate Bill 87. It's a hog house bill. It's going to be heard in state affairs. I haven't seen an amendment to it yet. Can you let us know what to expect on that?
Well, thank you for that question. I don't. There isn't any. We're going to pass that bill through without any. It's just going to be a shell bill. We're not going to pass. It's nothing going to be added to it. There's no nefarious plans or plots or things like that. So there's nothing. It's just gives us more flexibility as we get to the end of the session. So there isn't any anything to be added to that bill at the present time.
But later on, possibly.
Well, anything's possible, but I would say the chances of that happening are, of anything being added, are extremely low, extremely low. There's, again, it's just, it, those type of bills give the legislature flexibility at the end of the session rather than to have to seek to suspend the rules.
The House has a vote on, today on the bill about prohibiting, or not prohibiting, but requiring teachers to be able to teach the strengths and weaknesses of scientific theories in the classroom. Leader Qualm, do you know if that'll be voted on today, and do you have a position on that bill?
I haven't read the bill yet. I don't know that we're going to take up any bills today. I haven't even looked at the calendar for sure. I've been in committee, so I haven't had the opportunity. With the weather coming in like it is, and we're going to have to finish up state affairs, And so we need to get everything done as quickly as possible. I want people to be able to get on the road because it's going to be not a lot of fun traveling today, I think.
Last question for me, for maybe for the senators. I think industrial hemp will probably be heard next week. Any resolution there with the governor's office or any sense of where that's going to go?
You know, at this time, I believe there's still a good sense of support among senators trying to move forward with the process and figure out a solution. So I think the debate will be very good. I know the governor's office has been getting us continued information on that, and so hopefully the best decision will be made.
And I would agree with the leader's statement there. I think her statement was very accurate as to the sense of the Senate.
Senator Langer, if Governor Noem were to veto the hemp bill, I've already heard from the House side that they would be interested in pursuing an override. Was the sentiment the same in the Senate?
You know, we have not discussed that as a caucus, so I really can't comment.
Senator Bowman, we've talked about the sports bill kind of being based on physicality. And I was looking over the approval procedure for the High School Activities Association, and Part 2, Subsection D, was that gender identity-related advantages to the student if participation would be approved. That's like a part of the approval process. Is that not physicality in your mind?
You might want to interpret it that way. Again, it's the House Bill 1225 is essentially just going to bring the policy of Texas to the state of South Dakota. It's that's what the bill's about. It's not breaking any new ground, and it's all designed to promote fair competition in high school athletics.
One of the big topics at the start of the session was the nursing home crisis. Can you guys just give us an update on where things are standing regarding that issue?
Sure. I don't think that that's changed at all. I think we really are focused on figuring out what the best solution is for that, realizing, having discussion, that sometimes it's not just money. Sometimes there's other avenues that we need to look at, too, as far as, you know, how we best innovate the nursing homes to do the best that they can for their clientele. And it may be just a completely different model that may work, but definitely is still one of our number one priorities.
And I just say on that a lot of this stuff is taking place. The nursing home issue is going to take place in appropriations. That's where all the activity is going to be on that particular front. And it's a very a very, very important issue, and I know that the appropriation people, members, are working very diligently along with the administration to work for, come forward with efforts to improve that situation in South Dakota. So it's not out there in those policy committees that attract a lot of attention. It's in that hard work. I was on appropriations for 4 years, and it's I know what that's like. And you, it's just that daily grind of working to sort out the budget and try to generate as much income as possible or as many resources as possible to solve very much this particular issue, which remains very, very important for the legislature.
In conversations that we're having, you start talking about some other items that may need to be funded, and everybody continues to come back to, you know, tell us about nursing homes first. And so I think that's still top of everybody's mind. They don't even want to talk about some of the other funding issues that are there. They want to hear what's going to happen with nursing homes first.